I'd like to read a very well-known passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. That's page number 1354 in my Bible. 1354, chapter 5, verse 8. A very short section of Scripture. In fact, just one verse. But God commends his love to us in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. I'd like to speak about the love of God towards us. The love of God towards us despite who we are. God's love is not the same as other love in this world. God's love is unique. It's unqualified. And it's towards every man, woman and child. So different from the way this world operates. The world that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves struggling to meet a standard. It's embedded in us quite early actually, when we go to school. And we try to pass exams and that kind of thing. We try to meet a standard. I didn't meet a very good standard at school. But there we are, we tried. Some of us failed badly. And it doesn't matter what field you're in. The Commonwealth Games is going on at the moment. Think of the struggle those people have gone through to meet a physical standard. They've trained for most of their lives physically. They've trained with their diet to reach an incredibly high standard. And some of them have got to the highest standard and they've obtained medals. Well, the message in the gospel is quite sobering, actually. If you try and meet the standard, you'll fail. You cannot meet God's standard. And you say, that's depressing. You're telling me that there is nothing I can do to inherit salvation? No, there isn't. There's nothing that you can do. You can try your very hardest. But the problem is that we're all sinners. That we have committed sins before a righteous and a holy God. And we cannot undo those sins. We can't click the undo button on our sin. It doesn't matter how righteous and holy we try and live our lives. It cannot undo one single sin. If you'd committed one sin, if it was envy against your neighbour, or lust for your neighbour, or hatred for your neighbour, it can't undo that sin. No matter what effort you put in, can't be undone. That sin stays there. And it's like a dark blot. And God needs to have it removed. You need to have it removed. And he saw your condition, lost and undone, far from God, able to do nothing about it. And I can say there is nothing that I could ever do to justify myself before a righteous and holy God. There's not one thing that I can do. It doesn't matter how hard I might try. In past ages, in this country and across Europe, men spent their lives in monasteries, in quietness, not speaking, studying the scriptures very diligently. And yet, that was not sufficient. That did not make them righteous and holy before God. It did not wipe away one sin that was upon their conscience. And the sins that they had committed, they remained. But God saw our condition. He saw that we were unable to justify ourselves before him, a holy and righteous God. And what did he do? He sent his only son into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only acceptable sacrifice. He was the holy Lamb of God, sinless Lamb of God. And God provided him as a substitute that we might never have to suffer for our sins. And this is how we understand the love of God. It says here that God commends his love towards us. Commends his love to us in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. God's love, it meets us where we are. We don't have to strive to do justify ourselves before God. It meets us in our condition where we are, unrighteous, sinful, filthy. And the message to you tonight is that God has sent his only beloved Son into this world. And he has been the sacrifice for your sin. He has taken upon him your sin that you might go free. How wonderful that is. And that is the love of God. That's how you know the love of God, in that he sent his only beloved Son, his precious Son, into this world, that he might die a humiliating death at Calvary's cross. When God's just judgment rained down upon the head of the Saviour, my precious Saviour, in those 3 hours of darkness, when God the Father poured out his just judgment for sin and the sins of the world upon the head of my precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in those 3 hours of darkness, that judgment was born and it was exhausted. It was completed. There was nothing left to suffer. Was finished. That work was finished at Calvary's cross. And we know that because the Lord and the Saviour said, "It is finished." He suffered completely and entirely for every single sin, that all men and women might go free. And God is waiting. He's waiting in grace and love and mercy. He's listening. He is looking out. He is waiting, waiting for your call to him. And he waits to hear that call from yourself. Lord, save me. Save me from my sin, because that is what is required. He doesn't require you to justify yourself with good works, but he does require you to have repentance. In fact, he requires two things. I think this is so important in the gospel. The two kernels of the gospel is repentance towards God and faith in his only beloved Son. Repentance, that is understanding that you are a sinner before God, that something is not right, that distance has come in. And if you're a sinner, you will understand that, because you cannot have that free conversation, that communion with God. There is a distance there that needs to be closed and can be closed tonight. And that is why you need to come to him in repentance and say, "Oh God, I am a sinner. I need saving." And that is repentance. Not just that you're a sinner, but you are sinful by nature. And we are, as men, women and children, we're sinful by nature. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, we are sinful. We are born sinful. And yet, there we are. We have it. God commends his love to us, in that whilst we are still sinners, Christ has died for us. Yes, 2,000 years ago, you know, you think about that time span, and God knew our lives so much further down the line in time, and he knew exactly what sins we would commit, what sins we would think, what sins we would do, and he sent his Son so that he might suffer for those sins, that he might bear them completely in his body on the tree. And you see, I've spoken about repentance towards God. It's so important. It's so fundamental. Repent towards God. But then, have faith in Christ. That is, to trust that that work that he did at Calvary's cross is enough. It's sufficient to cleanse you from each and every sin. And it is, my friend. I know there are many, many people in this room tonight who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and friend, have trusted in the precious work that he has done at Calvary's cross, and that it's sufficient to cleanse them from every sin. The message has not changed in 2022. It is the same as it was in those early days of the church. It is the same, that we are in need of a Saviour. As natural men and women without God, we need God. We need a Saviour. We need to be rescued. We need to be ransomed. We need to be redeemed. Because, my friends, if you do not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour in this time, then there is the judgment. I fear for those who do not believe in God, who dismiss him. who say they do not believe in the Saviour. I fear for them. They do not understand the gravity of the suffering that will be held for them in an eternal day. I shudder to even talk about it, my friend. That is not the gospel, but it's the background to the gospel. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, and your life is taken, your destiny, my friend, is hell. But now you have an opportunity for your destiny to be heaven, to be where Christ is. How wonderful that is. He is a real and living Saviour. Yes, he has died. Yes, he has suffered. He was buried. And he was raised the third day. And he was raised by the glory of the Father. And he is alive in heaven. And we know that as Christians. He has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts that we might understand divine love towards us. A love that's so extraordinary that would search us out where we are in all our sinful state, in our circumstances that we find ourselves, not being able to justify ourselves before God in any way, not able to do a single work, not able to do a single word, but able to cry out to him, Lord, save me. Well, I trust, I don't want this to be a long preaching, it's a hot evening, but I trust, I really do trust, that everybody in this room tonight believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. It's so important. God is pleading with you tonight to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. To know the peace and joy of believing. Knowing the reality of having your sins removed from your conscience, from your soul. It's possible. These things are possible tonight. To have freedom to speak to Jesus. To have freedom to speak to God. To be able to worship his name. Know that there is a man living in heaven who's never to die anymore. These are realities. To know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are realities, known realities by Christians, by believers in Christ. And it's possible for you tonight to be cleansed from every single sin. What an amazing transformation that would be tonight. If there was one sinner who is uncomfortable under the burden of their sin, and they were able to cry out, Lord, save me. And you know, in an instant, their sins would be cleansed forever, forever before a sight of a holy and righteous God. And you will know the freedom and the joy and the peace, never to fear death anymore. A sting of death being taken away. Oh, what a precious thing these things are. So I trust and pray that you might come to Christ tonight before it is too late, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.